Hey folks, Josh here for another weekly business check-in. It is Sunday, April the 14th. How the heck are you doing? Hopefully you had a good week. It's been a dreary one here. I mean, it's been a gray week. I don't know if you guys and girls can relate to this, but I find that the weather can have such a big effect on like mood and energy. I think it's kind of proven fact at this point. Because the end of this week, actually the beginning of our week, now keep in mind I'm based in Toronto, Canada, so obviously this will differ widely based on where you live. But at the beginning of the week, like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday was nice. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, gray, rainy, crappy out. And it has such a, well, I guess if you let it, it can have such a big effect on your mood and stuff like that. Not only that, the second half of my week got so busy, a lot of calls. A lot of product testing that I had to do, which is a good sign because it means we're kind of testing and launching new stuff at Visto, which is a good sign, right? We've got some big features coming out this month, which is good. But oh my God, I don't know. It felt draining's not the right word. And maybe some of you entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, wantrepreneurs can kind of relate where once in a while, luckily it's not every week. Most of my weeks are, you know, I'm pretty happy and go lucky. Not that I'm not happy. It was just one of those end to the weeks where I was just like, oh God, I'm ready for Friday afternoon to come, you know? Just dreary out, rainy, gray, not much sunshine. So I couldn't get as much fresh air. A lot of calls. Most of them go pretty well. So like we had a pretty good week. But it's crazy how not even just weather, I guess if we even take a step back, like how much of the external environment can affect our internal, right? And I think this is a key takeaway that I will unsolicitedly share with you, because when you're running a business, there's so much going on in your external environment, and the better you can get at not letting it affect you internally will probably be better, right? Because so much externally is out of our control. Now, there is a fair amount that's in our control, right? How hard are we working? How much output are we putting out each day? Can we do a little bit more? Can we get a little bit more done each day? Can we be a little bit more productive? And will that lead to a little bit better outcomes? But there's so much also that we can't control. The weather, the responses of our clients, the response rates of our clients, stuff like that. So anyways, it was one of those weeks where the week, if I take a step back and I look at the week from the end of it, it's like, okay, that was a pretty good week. But the last few days of it, I think more so because of the weather, it just felt like more of a slog. And that's what happens, right? Especially for those of you who've been running or trying to run businesses or starting to run a business and it's been a while. We just have those weeks, right? I don't know if any of you can relate where maybe once a month or once every 2 months, you just have one of those weeks, quote unquote. I'm making the bunny ears for those that are listening on the podcast and not watching on YouTube, which shame on you. Although, I don't know, this is, it's fine to listen to just the audio. I feel like the real benefit is in the audio here anyway. So really what you're missing on YouTube is me at my standing desk in front of my big ass bookshelf talking into the camera. So if you like listening to me on the podcast every week, great. Thank you. I appreciate it. So anyways, it was a big mix, I'd say, of number one, testing product. So we build immigration software here at Visto. And as the resident in-house lawyer, we obviously have software developers that do the magic, right? They write the code, they build the stuff. And then I usually am the last line of defense in terms of testing everything, making sure it's working, stuff like that. So I enjoy that for the most part, especially our AI stuff. So we're making some AI improvements. I get to test that out, which is fun. We're launching a new automation probably this upcoming week, just making some last bug fixes, but we're automating what's called a spousal sponsorship application, very popular application here in Canada. This is basically if you're a Canadian permanent resident or a Canadian citizen and you have a spouse or common law partner, you can sponsor them to become a permanent resident. And it's a pretty popular application. It's also a pain in the ass of an application in terms of the number of forms to fill out, the number of documents you have to gather So immigration lawyers and consultants don't love doing it because it's a pain in the ass from the admin side. So we're about to launch an automated flow where we've kind of automated the checklist, automated the forms, all that kind of stuff. So we're hoping to launch that this week. I think it'll be really good because it's going to streamline what is normally a very annoying application. But that means we have to do a fair amount of testing, right? Test that all the forms are working. We're filling them in properly. We're generating the right document checklist for different profiles. So I like designing that stuff a lot more than I like testing it. But hey, that's just what we signed up for. It's part of the deal. So that's been good. I think we're going to launch a few cool new features this week. That'll be fun. And then mostly what else I do is sales calls and training and onboarding calls for our new clients. And those have been pretty good. They definitely take up a lot of time because, well, selling software, especially to law firms, can be tough, right? We have a lot of great clients now, and I'm pretty happy, and I think the company's headed in a really good direction. But selling in legal tech can be interestingly difficult, right? Where I would say on average, and I don't know if I've talked about this before, but you could kind of look across industries and kind of give every industry a ranking in terms of like, how innovative is it, right? So how innovative are lawyers or is legal tech? How innovative are finance people in fintech? How innovative are marketers in marketing tech? Right? And there's going to be a scale of how innovative or not are they. And I would say law is probably at the bottom end of that scale, right? Like all this leading technology you see is mostly not in legal tech, probably for a reason, right? A lot of lawyers are very risk averse, understandably. I mean, that's what basically we're taught in law school, right? Is how to find problems and why you should avoid them. So there's that problem. One sec here. Oh, what a glorifying sip of water that was. So I think about this a lot because we work in legal tech. And I think probably the two biggest reasons why legal tech lags behind most other industries is number one, lawyers are quote unquote less innovative than many other professionals because that's kind of how we've been trained and how our brains work. And number two is that most lawyers are too busy lawyering to go innovate all that much, right? Because if you think about it, if you're going to build new innovative technology, you probably want an expert on the team or leading the team to do it, right? So for example, you might have a med tech company and it's a doctor. Doctor says, you know what? I'm going to stop my medical practice. I'm going to go start this tech company. Or I'm going to practice a little bit less and I'm going to start this tech company on the side, right? Or you have this marketer who's like, oh, I've been running my marketing agency for years, but I don't want to do it anymore. I'm going to build this marketing software now. So you kind of need, you don't need, but you certainly benefit from having like that domain expert on the founding team. And so one of my theories is that one of the reasons why legal tech lags behind is because the domain experts, aka the lawyers, are too busy just making enough money practicing as lawyers to be bothered to go help innovate, right? Why should I go risk it all to build a new tech company when I can just keep practicing in my law firm and making a pretty good living? You know what I mean? So most of this stuff, it comes down to, and this is one of my biggest takeaways from Charlie Munger, is follow the incentives, right? What are the incentives? Humans usually act quite predictively if you dig down into the incentives. So what incentive does a lawyer have? Let's say they've been practicing for 5, 10, 20, 30 years. They've built up a good firm, a good reputation. They're making lots of money. Why would they risk some or all of that to go start a tech company and put it all on the line and try to sell to other lawyers and stuff like that, right? So those are my two biggest guesses. That's all they are. They're just guesses. So anyways, that's my rambling for the week. Hopefully, maybe you can relate to some of it or all of it. If you have any feedback, let me know what you think. Feel free to put a comment on the YouTube video, or if you're watching this or listening to it after coming through my Substack, which you should definitely be on, then you can respond directly to the Substack or comment on Substack as well. If you're not already on my Substack, definitely check the link to the Substack in the description, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on the podcast. Anyways, books for the week. I finished, I'm holding this up for those watching on YouTube. If you're not watching, if you're listening, you won't be able to see the book, the physical book, but I just finished this Mammoth a few days ago. Great book. It was a book on Bill Marriott. Marriott? I don't know. And it's called Success is Never Final, His Life and the Decisions That Built a Hotel Empire. And it's big, right? Like I'm holding it up on its side now. This puppy clocks in at just under 500 pages. And it's like pretty dense pages, right? Like when you pick up a book, there's a wide range of like page density, right? In terms of like how many words per page. And these were big pages to get through. So it took me a little while to finish the book, to read the book, but it was really interesting. I would almost call it more of a history on the Marriott company because they started way back. Bill's father, J.W., started the company. It was like initially a restaurant and they were in the food business and then slowly expanded. And then, you know, Bill started working at the company and they started doing more and more hotel stuff. And eventually they realized that they were making so much more money with hotels and they eventually ditched the restaurants and they built Marriott into what it is today. So anyways, it was a longer read, but it was a very good book. I definitely learned a lot of good stories, a lot of good business lessons, and I would highly recommend it. I think one of the key takeaways that I took from it, and this is a huge pattern that's emerged in my opinion, when I think of all these books I've read on Ray Kroc and Phil Knight and Jeff Bezos and blah, 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 is the obsession over the customer and the customer service. That has to be one of the key themes and lessons that I've noticed from a lot of these very successful entrepreneurs. Sam Walton, again, comes to mind, where they just, from the beginning all the way through the end, it's almost like nothing else matters except obsessing over the customer. What do they want? How do you help them get it? How do you treat them well so they come back and refer you to friends and stuff like that? So that's probably the key theme that I can pass on from that book. Definitely a recommended read. And now I'm almost halfway through a book by, is his name Stephen Bartlett? 33 Rules. Hold on, I'll tell you the book. It's called The Diary of a CEO, The 33 Laws of Business and Life by Stephen Bartlett. And I'm probably about 40% of the way through that book. So I'll give you the review probably next week when I'm done. So far, I'm liking it too. It's a much quicker and quote unquote easier read, but a little bit different in a good way. So anyways, I'll talk about that next week. But yeah, the Bill Marriott book was really good. I would recommend that too. I've never read a book like a memoir or an autobiography or a biography about a successful entrepreneur that I haven't liked. Well, yeah, most of them I love. I would say, yeah, there's been one or two where I finished reading. I was like, that was okay. I probably won't read it again. But most of them I really enjoy and will probably read at least a second or a third time. So anyways, that's it for me. We're up at the 13-minute mark here. Hopefully you found some of this interesting. Thanks very much for tuning in. If you're watching on YouTube, if you could like, subscribe, all that good stuff to the video, just really helps support the channel and, you know, push the content to more people and all that good stuff. If you're listening on the podcast, if you can give it a quick review in whatever platform you're listening on, that really helps. And make sure you're on the Substack if you're not already. Every Monday morning, I share a key business story from the previous week in business. I link to this podcast so you'll never miss it. And I just share a bunch of other fun stuff that might be interesting to you. So anyways, thanks again for tuning in. Hope you had a great week. Wishing you a good one ahead. And I will see you in the next one. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.